Hey, whether you stumbled onto my podcast or you've been a longtime listener, I'm glad you're listening. What is this podcast all about? Well, it's about people just like me, just like you, about age 60, maybe a little older, maybe a little younger, but you, like me, are trying to figure out how you're going to do life for this next 10, 20, 30 years. How are you going to stay healthy? What are you going to eat? Are you going to exercise? How are you going to do the things you really, really want to do in retirement? But most importantly, things that I think about go along these lines. How am I going to avoid assisted living? How am I going to maintain my independence? How am I going to enjoy life to its fullest until God says my time is done? Thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Pushing 60 Aside with your host, Gene Fleming, recording this podcast on the 22nd of September. Oh my gosh, it's the first day of fall. And, today the weather was perfect, in my opinion. Anyway, it was about 83 degrees Fahrenheit. And I went out and played a round of golf. And I had a really pleasant afternoon. And I shot pretty close to bogey golf. So that was a good round for me because I haven't been golfing much since before the pandemic began, and so I'm kind of getting back into my game, and I really enjoyed myself. So I'm thankful that the weather was right, and a little bit dry outside. We haven't had rain in about 11 days, so the course was pretty dry, but it was in good shape, and I went out and knocked some little white balls into some little round cups, and enjoyed the sunshine and just being outdoors for a while. Yeah, it's fall, and gosh, we've had a brutal summer here this year. I, for one, believe climate change is real, and we had more days in the 90s than we may have had more when I was a kid. I don't know. I don't remember. I wasn't following the weather then, but I know that we broke some records here in Northeast Alabama, here in the United States. And just extremely hot weather for us. Fortunately, we had rain and we didn't have drought to go with the high temperatures, so we didn't have fires and things like that. But it has been a very, very hot summer, oftentimes with the heat index over 100 degrees. And all I can say is whoever created air conditioning, wherever you are, I am thankful to you and your team for creating such a nice luxury to have. I grew up in a household or in a home where when I was, probably from the time I was born till the time I was 7 or 8 years old, we had no air conditioning at all. And we lived down on the Gulf Coast. And, and all we had was fans. And how we slept at night, I don't know. I just don't know. How we didn't soak our clothes with sweat getting ready for school or church or anything like that, I don't know. But we just lived that way, and maybe we just didn't know any better. But I remember when we got our first air conditioner for our home, life seemed to get a lot better. And I'm thankful we have air conditioning now. That's enough about that. But it is fall. And I thought I would seize this first day of fall to capsulize a topic of fall versus fall. And the topic of this podcast will be no fall this fall. How about that? No fall this fall. And, if you listen to the podcast even once before, you know that I am a International Sports Sciences Association trained fitness trainer. I have credentials as a personal trainer, a senior fitness specialist, a nutrition coach, and got the designation as a master trainer some years ago. So I'm really into training. Of course, I've been training as long as I can remember. I'd be been either in training or training others as part of my Navy career. Even when I was in Boy Scouts, I was training other kids, and so I've always been involved in training as the instructor or the student, one way or another. And so these days, and I have been for over 4 years now, working as a fitness trainer through the Council on Aging here, working with senior folks and helping them stay fit and active. And we recently changed, and I say recently, last January, we changed the format to a nationally recognized format called SAIL, which means is an acronym for Staying Active and Independent for Life. And the primary goal, there's multiple goals, but the primary goal of SAIL classes, SAIL fitness classes like I teach, is fall prevention. And I wanted to quickly talk about something besides the weather and the season of the year and talk about falls themselves. And if you're listening to this podcast, you have likely fallen. No, I know you have fallen at least once in your lifetime. And the thing about it is, once we get over 60, 65, the likelihood of falling goes way up. And that's why we're training seniors physically and through neuromuscular exercises to help prevent falls from happening in the first place. We also talk about some logical approaches to preventing falls, like, you know, like remember when you were having kids? And I'm presuming you're old enough to have kids. Some of my listeners are 18 to 25. A lot of my listeners are 50 and older. But for those of us that have had kids, we had to child-proof our homes. And now as we're entering our senior years, if we're not already there, we've got to senior-proof our homes from falls. And that means get rid of the throw rugs that'll throw you. Any trip hazard, like a carpet that has buckled and has a hump in it, dog toys that are laying in your frequent walkways through your house, and we have to be conscious to be paying attention to what we're doing and where we're going. Imagine this. The other day I was carrying a basket of laundry from the laundry room to a back bedroom in our home. And I'm walking with this basket held almost at chest height. Do you know I can't see 5 feet in front of me with that basket carried right there? The basket is obscuring my view. By dropping the basket down to my hips, I can see better directly in front of me in case one of my dogs has brought one of their chew bones. That seems to be a problem in this house. The dog's chew bones, they're hard. And if you're walking barefoot, it's like stepping on a rock or any other thing that would bruise your foot. And they're just perfect to trip over. And sometimes the dogs themselves so you get in the way. And I know they just want to be with us and hang out and see if we've got any food. A common phrase in our house is "get out of the way," and so as we've reached our golden years as far as enjoying and reaping the benefits of our labors in retirement, we have to fall-proof our homes. And for me, I have to make sure that I'm done with a garden hose; it's rolled out. And not hiding in the grass, you know, simple stuff like that. We've gone through a change here at our home where it's a kind of a movement nationally called minimizing, and in other words, we're getting rid of a lot of junk, a lot of clutter, duplicates, things we don't need, things we don't use. And we're donating most of this stuff, and you know. And there was a time where if you walked into my bedroom, there was five pairs of dumbbells laying in the floor. And I can tell you factually that when you get out of bed in the middle of the night to go to the John and you hit one of those dumbbells with your toe, that dumbbell does not move, and your toe screams with great anger back at you for being so stupid as for leaving something like that laying in the floor. And I'm not talking about in the middle of the floor either. I'm talking about over on the side, but you know, in the dark, I can't see the floor. So we've also added night lights, motion sensing night lights throughout our house to reduce the likelihood that we're going to trip, stumble, and fall, even in our own home. And doing the same thing out in my workshop and in my garage, making sure there's clear pathways to prevent falls. Each year in the United States, and that's where these statistics were derived by the Center for Disease Control, each year millions of older people, those 65 and older, fall. In fact, more than one out of four older people falls each year. So look at your three best friends and count yourself. That's four people. One of you is likely going to fall this year. And there's a possibility. There's always the possibility with a fall that you're going to get hurt. That injury could be minor. I mean, it could be maybe you do a pretty good job of kind of catching yourself during the fall and rolling with it somehow to where you didn't hit hard. There's always the possibility of broken bones, contusions, cuts, abrasions, things like that. That really hurt. And there's also the possibility of things that don't normally get in the limelight, but like broken fingers, a fractured wrist, a cracked elbow, a dislocated shoulder, a cracked knee. I mean, those things happen when people fall. And something that I've seen twice recently with seniors who fell is tears, literal tears, long tears of their skin through an abrasive fall, because they were really very thin skinned and that skin just ripped off a forearm like I didn't even think was possible. But so anyway, here at my house, I'm 60, almost 65, and my wife is 60, and so we're really thinking hard about how to keep ourselves healthy as we continue to age and enjoy life. So we've added night lights, we've eliminated throw rugs and trip hazards. There are no cords of any kind on our floor, so we're not going to have extension cords. And we're doing our best to be careful. We've improved the handrail going out of our back door, and I have done some work on our front porch. I have about five steps going down to a sidewalk. I have put double anchors in those handrails. In other words, those handrails don't wobble, and they're steady enough for a person my size, a little less than 200 pounds. I could lean on it. It's not going to fall over, break, bend, and mostly I'm not going to get, I'm not going to take a spill because I go to grab that handrail and it gives way, and me, it, and everything else tumbles to the ground out on the concrete. So, anyway, a bad thing about having that first fall, especially as a senior citizen, that first fall, especially the one that catches you completely by surprise, that could be an indicator of neuromuscular issues. It could be an indication of a poorly laid out house or you know, trip hazards, or lack of adequate lighting. It could be all kinds of things, but the falling once literally doubles your chances of falling again. So I guess, according to the CDC, there's the possibility of becoming a habitual faller, not by choice, but because your brain's just not talking to your body anymore like it once did. And maybe your vision's not as good as it once was. And maybe you're not as careful or as fast. And your reflexes are not as fast as they once were. So that first fall is a good warning shot, so to speak, that another fall is very likely. You know this, falls are serious, and only about half the people who fall in this age group, 65 and older, only about half of them even mention that fall to their doctors. Sure, now if they fall and they're seriously injured and you have to call an ambulance and the person or maybe a family member takes you to the hospital, to an emergency room, well, the doctors are going to know then for sure. But about half the people that fall, they do just like they've always done. They examine the fall. They self-assess the injury. They don't want to go to the doctor. They certainly don't want to go to the hospital and be there at an emergency room for hours on end waiting to get an x-ray or something like that. So a lot of older people are prone to self-assess and kind of say, I'll wait and see how I feel in the morning. And if I can't move this wrist tomorrow, then we'll go see the doctor. But for the cuts and abrasions, you know, we bandage ourselves up, or a spouse or one of our adult children comes over and puts a Band-Aid on it, and we rock right on. But we don't tell our doctors. Sometimes, though, on a visit to the doctor, it might come up as the doctor is interrogating us about, okay, how you been? How you feeling? Any new complaints? And it might come up then that the patient tells the doctor, oh yeah, you know, a couple of weeks, I was caught by surprise and fell, and that's how I got this scar on my elbow, you know, something like that. But it's anticipated because of the baby boomer group, of which I'm a part, that a lot of us are living to a ripe old age. And there's going to be a big bunch of us old folks alive in the next for the next 20 years or so. And it's anticipated, and this is scary, and I hate to even say this, but this is not coming from me. This is not something I read on Facebook. This comes from the CDC. They're anticipating that death from falls, that's death from falls, is going to increase by 30% in the next 20 years. And that's because there's going to be so many of us super seniors, so to speak, that are part of the baby boomer generation. And we're going to be in our 70s, 80s, and 90s. And, you know, we're going to be the risk group. And there's a lot of us. So they're going to say the overall death rate from falls is going to increase by the year 2030. And in that year, it's anticipated that there will be 7 deaths from falls every hour by the year 2030. That's kind of scary, folks. That's scary to me. And so I'm learning to be careful and to stay careful and do preventative measures like these little motion sensing lights that we put all around the house. They're aggravating because sometimes my dogs will walk in and out of a bedroom at night and poof, all of a sudden the light's on. In fact, when I did poof with my hand and gestured, the light in this room came on. But I'd rather have the light than a fall. So that's the name of that tune. Let's see. It says here, 1 out of 5 falls causes a serious injury such as broken bones or head injury. The next item is, each year, 3 million older people are treated in emergency departments for fall injuries. And that doesn't necessarily mean a broken bone, but the cuts and sprains and strains and things like that. And the next statistic was that over 800,000 patients a year, 800,000 patients a year are hospitalized because of a fall injury, and most often because of a head injury or a hip fracture. So, you know, most often, well, historically, when I've heard about fall injuries, the first thing that comes to my mind is a broken hip. But anywhere you've got a joint or a bone or skin or your skull itself, anything can be injured in a fall. You could sprain an ankle during a fall. If you're falling down steps, you could break wrist. You could crack elbows, plus getting scraped up and cut and all kind of things like that too. So it says here also that each year at least 300,000 older people are hospitalized for hip fractures. So we had 800,000 hospitalized total because of fall injuries, because of head injuries and hip fractures, but 300,000 people just for hip fractures. So anyway, the next thing they talk about here is more than 95% of hip fractures are caused by falling. And usually, here's the rub, usually by falling sideways. And that falls are the most common cause of TBIs, that's traumatic brain injuries. And you just stop and think about it. You tumbled down. You could hit a kitchen counter, a bathroom, a counter, the edge of the tub. You could hit a fender on your car if you're tripping out in your carport or garage or parking space. You know, we're just not as fast as we once were. You know, there might have been a time where my balance would have been better and I wouldn't have stumbled in the first place. My observational skills to where I was looking for loose gravel or a random rock, or even my little dog being directly in front of me. You know, maybe I paid more attention years ago than I do now. But now because I'm aging, and I'm not as quick to respond as I once was. Maybe I've gotten too comfortable in my house, garage, and my workshop and things like that. I don't know. But I'm at risk for falls. And if I fall, there's a good chance I could hurt my head really bad with a traumatic brain injury. It says here in the year 2015, just 7 years ago, the total medical cost for falls in the United States was more than $50 billion, that's billion with a B, dollars, and that Medicare and Medicaid shouldered about 75% of those costs. Bear in mind, these fall statistics are an injury that's reported, and that data is collected by the National Institute of Health and by the Centers for Disease Control. And so not all of these falls that are talked about in these statistics are just people 65 and older. The statistic I want the seniors to listen to is you are part of the high fall demographic. You're part of that 1 in 4, the 25% who will take a fall this coming year. And so it's up to you to do what you can to prevent the falls in the first place, eliminating the trip hazards, being more aware, looking before you walk and leap through places, illuminating rooms, and making sure you've got ample walking space. I'll share a personal thing here real quick. And my wife had an exercise machine, a Pilates machine, that was laying next to the bed. And now she didn't get in on the bed on that side, but when making the bed, you had to walk in a narrow alleyway, let's call it an alleyway, between that Pilates machine and the bed. And there was barely enough room for my calves to fit down through there to make that bed. And my toes literally had to be under the bed to scoot down through there sideways. That's a bad plan because if I have to move or step out with any speed at all, the trip hazard was there. And in fact, I did stumble over the railing on that Pilates machine one time. And so guess what? We got rid of the Pilates machine because nobody was using it anyway. And that was just a smart move. Now she's got plenty of floor space all the way around the bed, and it's much easier to make the bed. It's just a safety precaution there. So anyway, what can you do in your life, in your world where you live, in your home? You know, you could do a safety walk down. And if you're a younger person, and by younger, I mean younger than 65, that's my idea of younger these days, and your parents are still alive, do a safety walk through in their home, just like you did when you had kids and you had to childproof your home and put locks on cabinets and put those doorknob covers so the kids couldn't let themselves out of the house and things. But not like that, you know. But do a walk through the home and identify potential trip hazards or places that are really physically too small for your parents or grandparents to be getting up into and trying to do things there. You know, so we have done that, and we've gotten rid of some furniture that was excess and created tight spots. So we have plenty of open walking space in our house, and it just makes sense. Another thing that you can do to help guard yourself against falls is participate in an exercise class that includes balance work. And I do these with my sail classes. The exercises sometimes seem a little bit silly. We don't have to understand why a specific, carefully researched and designed exercise for balance works. We just have to do the exercise and know that this is what our brain needs to experience to work with the muscles to keep us upright so that we don't go splat. And so we do a number of things in my classes. Some of them I think are really nifty, but we create situations that are similar to moves that are the initiators for falls. You ever had to turn around on a dime or turn around on a really tight spot? We practice that. We practice turning around and going the other direction. We practice walking in a tight circle about the size of a soccer ball while not looking at the soccer ball, but looking left and looking right and using observational skills and visual cues to make sure that we never bump the soccer ball. And so oftentimes I will lay something inanimate like a water bottle or a towel or a dumbbell in the floor, and I will walk around it in a tight circle, and then I reverse the direction, because changing directions is something that we do sometimes that throws us off balance. We do these exercises. We do a heel to toe walk. And I got to admit, when we started doing this in January, people were all over the room trying to do this heel-to-toe walk, and some of them could not do it, but with time and practice, they can put that right foot directly in front of the left, and then the left directly in front of the right, and then they can also put it in reverse and walk backwards like that. We laugh and joke and say we're training for a sobriety test from the local sheriff's department. And so everybody laughs, but we do the exercises. We also work on some balance moves that would sound weird unless you were participating in it. Because when would you ask an 85-year-old person to stand on one foot for 10 seconds? You probably wouldn't. But we do this with the safety of a chair that you can touch or even hold on to as you're building this balance skill. And we stand on the left foot for 10 seconds. And then we stand on the right foot for 10 seconds. And then we do it all over again. And the goal is to become less and less dependent on that chair that you're using to stabilize yourself, to where eventually you can stand for 10 seconds on one foot with no assistance whatsoever. And many of the people that began classes with me in January are now freestanding on one foot, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, then doing the other foot for 10 to 15 seconds. And that is a remarkable improvement. And some of the ones who could not walk heel to toe and who were kind of stumbling all over the place, never venturing far from their chairs that are on the floor with them. They have now mastered walking heel to toe. Not always 100% perfect, but pretty darn close, and their brains know how to do that now and how to keep them upright. We also work on some lower leg strength and ankle flexibility, because if I have the notion that I need to get out of the way of a child that is running down through the aisle of a supermarket, I want to be able to move laterally. I want to be able to slide to the side. And so we do a lot of motions that require us to move and move quickly, left or right. Not forward or back, but left or right. So even in our aerobics, we practice a lot of side steps, single side steps, four side steps in succession, because these are things we don't practice and don't normally do a lot of as seniors. But if we keep refreshing our brain's memory of how to get out of the way, maybe, just maybe, in an emergent situation where we're about to fall, I can throw that right leg quickly out to the right and catch myself before it ever even gets close to a fall. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? What if I didn't fall? And what if I could throw a foot out in front of me pretty darn quick to where I never fell? I didn't have to try to catch myself or shield my head or anything like that. I just caught myself. And as I tell my class participants, you'll never know about the fall you didn't have because you didn't have it. And that's the goal. So to you, the listener, I encourage you to be conscious of these statistics that say one out of four. And if you've got a spouse or if you've got parents that are still alive, or even grandparents, if you're a younger listener, one out of four people that are over 65 are going to take a spill this year. And you can be part of the solution by removing trip hazards, making sure that dimly lit spaces have adequate light, even using these motion detection lights that come on. These are ones that plug in the wall socket, so it's not like the whole room lights up. But, I think they were about $8 a piece. I think it was a good investment. If it keeps my wife from falling down in the middle of the night, or me from falling down in the middle of the night, that was $8 well spent. So anyway, it's the fall of the year here in the United States. And I guess in the Southern Hemisphere, it's the spring of the year. And to all my Australian listeners, happy spring. For us, it's happy fall. You're getting ready to go into your warmer season. We're getting ready to go into our colder season. The one thing I don't want to happen this fall is for this guy to fall. And I will tell you this about my trip on the golf course today. Playing golf, walking the golf course, walking up onto greens, all of that. Swinging a golf club, everything I did, even getting in and out of the golf cart, there's always the potential for a fall. There were places on the course I walked today that had divots in them that weren't caused by golfers. They were caused by erosion. And I anticipate that, but you can't always see them. And I stepped in a few of those low spots, but I didn't fall. I'd like to think that teaching this class and doing these exercises is helping me stay upright. And if I stay upright, I don't fall. If I don't fall, I don't get hurt. If I don't get hurt, I don't go to the hospital. If I don't go to the hospital, I don't have surgery. If I don't have surgery, I don't have to do recovery. Whew, that's a mouthful. Hey, thank you for listening to the Pushing 60 Aside podcast, where the goal is always about doing everything that we can to keep ourselves able to continue reaping the rewards of our years of labor, enjoying our retirements, enjoying our recreational activities, traveling, sightseeing, doing fun things that we always wanted to do, but we couldn't because we were working so hard and because we were raising kids, things like that. The goal is to stay upright, to stay focused, to stay mentally alert, and to maintain our independence, living in our homes, doing our things, watching our TV, sleeping in our beds, and not allowing ourselves to decline simply because we got older. Not allow ourselves to get weak to where we can't do the chores and labor that it takes to keep a house, a home, a yard, a garden, all, up and running and functional. And I know everybody has different lives. You know, there are some friends of mine that are 75 years old that are still splitting firewood by hand because that's the heat source, or at least part of the heat source for their homes. But if his life calls for him to do that, he's got to stay healthy enough to do that or find another source or another place to live. You know, he's got to find another source of the labor. But the one thing we don't want to happen to us as we age is to have somebody start making our decisions for us because we've gotten too sick, too weak to safely stay in the place we call home. And I don't want anybody telling me that I have to go into assisted living. I don't want the medical people coming to my house and taking care of me. And so I've got to eat healthy. I've got to get exercise. I've got to get plenty of sleep. I've got to take really good care of myself. I've got to work with my doctor. I've got to be honest with him about what's ticking with me. And I've got to take good mental health and physical health and spiritual health of myself and do smart things, healthy things, to make sure that my time of independence is as long as it safely can be. Now, sure, and I've said this before on the podcast, there's going to come a day when I'm going to not be able to take care of myself anymore. I'm 65 now, so I think I've got another 30 good years living in my home with my pets, my wife, my life. I may not drive anymore after 85 or so. I don't know what the future will bring, but I think 95 is attainable for me if I'll just behave myself and do what I can to take care of my health and keep myself safe. Until the next podcast, thank you for listening to the Pushing 60 Aside podcast. Thank you to my younger listeners. I don't know why you 18 to 25-year-old folks listen, but thank you for listening. And for those of you in other countries outside of the United States, I appreciate your listening. And if you like the podcast, tell a friend about it. So far, this podcast has remained unsponsored by choice, so that you don't have to listen to a sales pitch for protein powder or life insurance or automobile insurance or anything like that. And the aim is to keep this this podcast commercial free. I don't sell anything. I don't have T-shirts or logo stuff or key rings. I'm not selling a thing. So the podcast is free, and I know your time isn't, so I'm going to cut this one short tonight at about 38 minutes worth, and I ask you to keep on listening and share the podcast if you get a chance. Until the next podcast, may the good Lord bless you, and may health be ever in your forward-looking window.